Keith, please proceed when you're ready.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Board. As I stated, my name is Dr. Kathleen Keith, and I'm an emergency medicine physician, and I've been involved in disaster planning, emergency preparedness, and emergency management planning for over 23 years. When I learned of the proposed pipelines through St. John, red flags immediately started waving. There is nothing that I have seen or read since which has calmed my fears. There must be other choices than the routes we are talking about for this hearing. So I was faced with two options, doing nothing or being here. I am here because this goes against all of what I know about disaster planning. Disaster planning is systematic, and it is supported by careful and complete analysis. It identifies conditions that lead to disastrous outcomes, and I think the routes that are proposed create just those conditions. As an emergency physician, I deal with patient lives every day, and I do not take unnecessary risks when there are other options. As a community advocate, I must speak against this application. Today, I will talk about the disaster side, and specifically that's going to be disaster probability, disaster response, and disaster readiness. Under disaster probability, in disaster planning, the first rule is when a disaster occurs, not if. Even when considering low probability events, we have to keep one step ahead of the potential for disaster. All disasters will occur no matter how low the probability. History proves that to be true. We just don't know when. Disaster response. I'm not going to try and teach a course on disaster planning here, but one of the first things done is a hazard analysis. That is a cataloging of all potential disasters, for instance, in the city of St. John. This has never been completed to date in this city. This is normally what you base your plans and response on. So St. John has a plan without a complete hazard analysis. The risk analysis done by the fire chief is not a hazard analysis, but a risk analysis, and was fine in as far as it went. One of the major failings was that it was done after the preferred pipeline route had been determined. I also have concerns regarding the underestimation of the impact zones. Though I realize the very low likelihood of a full pipeline rupture, I am required to consider and plan for just that likelihood. In my research online, Cooperwood's commentary review of Amera's application stated to properly evaluate the proposed pipeline route through the city of St. John, the pipeline applicant needs to develop and provide an early ignition pipeline rupture heat flux versus distance curve. This translates into how big is the impact zone of a full pipeline rupture with early ignition. I cannot determine this by reviewing the application. St. John Regional Hospital is very close, if not in, the potential impact zone, depending on which route is considered. Amera considers it safe because of the thermal protection afforded by the walls. But as we know, a large area of the building is glass, and that provides no protection. And this makes up approximately half of the building. I do not wish to appear to be an alarmist in regards to the hospital's proximity to the pipeline, but within Amera's application itself, there is a recommendation to site the hospital as far from the pipeline as possible, but only within the preferred route choices. Part of the emergency response in this scenario is the medical side, and it has been totally ignored, and I ask the question why. I have seen no reference to a medical rescue capacity, which is the number of victims receiving basic and advanced life support. What will be the medical transport capacity? No mention. But regardless, you do not beef up a response capability to make up for poor pipeline route planning. Another factor in response is how will patients rapidly access the only emergency room department in this city with the pipeline isolating the majority of the population from this facility if an incident occurs near the hospital? Problems with the response, ability of people to get to the area, traffic congestion, general panic, visibility through smoke, disruption of essential services, compromise of hazard materials, and many other problems have not been looked at. Disaster readiness. The hospital is not ready for any major incident. The hospital treatment capacity deals with disaster procedures, personnel, and supplies. At the hospital, we've not practiced a major exercise in over 10 years. Code Orange, which is an external disaster, has not been reviewed or rewritten or practiced. The emergency room is 25 years out of date. It was built to receive 25,000 visits per year, and we're currently seeing 65,000 per year. A new ER is not expected before 10 years at the last meeting. We are operating at a crisis situation, which we call Code Orange Internal, which it translates to working at 130% capacity almost every day of the year. In the last 6 months, that was 171 days out of 183 days. An emergency callback of physicians and nurses would be required, but how do they get there through an impact zone? And that would be, they could get there if they came from Milledgeville, and there's only two trained ER physicians there. Currently, the emergency department is in a physician crisis management situation where we can't even fill all the shifts that are there. And in fact, all the physicians but three have resigned effective in January. Communications is a big problem, as the fire chief highlighted in his report. There is no back communication system currently at the hospital, and this proved to be a big problem when the phone system went down this summer. In any disaster, communication always proves to be a problem, even with backup. If the hospital has to be evacuated, and it may well have to because of smoke, explosion, loss of essential services, where can a patient go to be considered out of danger? How do you move 434 patients out of harm's way? Our hospital runs an average of 91% capacity, but the last 3 months it's over 100% capacity. I would think that this would be a near possible feat with medical transport tied up responding to a disaster. So in summary, I've discussed the disaster probability in terms of not if, but when the incident occurs. I've discussed the disaster response with respect to an uncompleted hazard analysis, problems with risk analysis, danger to the hospital, lack of medical response discussion, problems with access to the hospital, no discussion on medical rescue capacity or medical transport capacity, and the general mayhem that occurs during the event. I've discussed disaster readiness and hospital treatment capacity. The plans are out of date. No mock disaster practices are regularly done. The facility cannot handle a major incident as it is constantly in a state of overcrowding. The facility is too small for the demands placed upon it now. Impaired callback capability, communication breakdown, the hospital being in harm's way itself and the emergency department currently being in a crisis situation. So, in conclusion, an ounce of prevention, in this case would be prevention of this pipeline being placed in this city, is very important. If we do not need to take the risk, why do it? There are alternatives. Members of the NE board, I would ask that you do not approve this pipeline route. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Keith. Are there any parties who wish to cross-examine Dr. Keith on her oral statement?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. Mayor of Brunswick respects Dr. Keith's opinion, and we have no cross-examination.
Not seeing any parties come forward. Dr. Keith, thank you very much for taking the time to come and present your oral statement.
Thank you.